You're listening to the Journey Church podcast. At Journey Church, our vision is to see dreams discovered and built, and broken dreams rediscovered and rebuilt. Our mission is to love God, His Word, and His world. For more information on how to connect with us, please stay tuned following the message. Now, we trust that you'll be blessed by the following presentation.
We are in week number 3 of 4 inside of our Jesus Culture series, which talks on taking the culture of Jesus' life and making it, encouraging it to be, compelling it to become the culture of your life. Listen, you know, the reason many of us don't have what I would call God's Word, Bible-sized results in our lives is because we don't have God's Word, Bible-sized cultures in our lives. In other words, if you don't have a culture of Scripture in your life, if your life isn't being defined by Scripture, then you're not going to experience the results that Scripture has for you. And the reason I say that is culture trumps everything. I mean, there's nothing that is going to overcome culture. Culture trumps everything. I don't care how much Scripture you know, if it is not actively surrounding the environment of your life, you will not experience those Scriptures that you know coming to life in your life. I know a lot of people that know a lot of Bible, and they can quote it backwards and forwards, but the culture of their life, the routines of their life, the habits of their life, even the relationships they attach to their life trump God's Word from having a primary part in it. Can I just say this? God doesn't share. He doesn't share easily. He doesn't like to share you. He doesn't like to share you with other things that will take you away from Him. He doesn't like to share you with other people who will take you away from Him. I mean, no, there are people, and then there are people that can take you away from Him. He's not into sharing. Exodus chapter 34 and verse 14 says, "For the Lord," watch this, "whose name is jealous." His name is jealous. Is a jealous God. Hear me, Journey Church. Hear me, Christ follower. This is so key for us to hear. God must be honored as preeminent, meaning He must be before all things. He must be first in order for your faith life, in order for your Christianity to work. He must be first in your life, for your life to work within and experience the results of His power and His provision. Because if you're going to do things your way, then you're going to be left with your power and your ability to provide. And how many know, with the strength you have, which is extremely finite, and the ability you have to provide are extremely finite, you're going to end up drowning in the waters of life because you don't have what it takes to make it through all by yourself. And so we have, here's the good news, a perfect, the perfect example of the life we are to mimic, of the life we are to follow in the example left for us in the life of Christ. Come on, somebody. That's what created the name Christian to begin with. You know, the name Christian is first found in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26 in a city called Antioch, where the disciples were making impact. Antioch is in south central Turkey today, and it says that people saw them and called them. The first time the word came out, we don't know who it was, but somebody called them Christian, meaning little Christ. These people were observing the disciples, and they noticed some insane similarities to how they lived their life and how Jesus lived His. And they're like, you walk just like Him. You talk just like Him. Contextually, we got to understand, this wasn't a term of endearment. This was more of an observant slander. You live just like him. You carry his mannerisms. You carry his customs, his habits. You're like a little Jesus. Look at that little Jesus over there. And look at the results, though, that fell upon the world in the scope of these little Jesus' timeline of their life. The known world in their lifetime was covered with the gospel. Help me, somebody in this room. When we do what Jesus did, unimaginable things will follow, not only in your life, but in this entire world. John Wesley said it best. He says, if you want to change the world, give me 100 men that fear nothing but God and hate nothing but sin, and I can change this planet. Just give me 100. I don't need the multitudes. Just give me 100. When we follow in the footsteps of Jesus, great things happen. And one of the things that made up the culture of the life of Jesus was this word right here, serving. He served everywhere he went. The need around him was the call, and his service to that need was the way he chose to meet it. We, and this is what this series is encouraging us to do, to serve like Jesus served. And how did Jesus serve? What does the Bible say we need to serve? He says we need to serve our local church, serve inside the ecclesia, the community of faith that he's placed us in. It's very biblical. Serve in your church. He said to serve in your family, those in your home, those your parents, your grandparents, your aunts, your uncles, your cousins, your relatives. Serve your family, serve your wife, serve your husband. He also called us to serve, which is what we're going to talk about today, in your workplace. And next week, we're going to talk about how serving makes the dream come true. And we're going to talk about this a story with Cindy Isom. You're going to want to be a part of it. It's going to be fantastic as we kind of wrap up this series and show about the Dream Center. It's going to be incredible. But today, I want to talk about this. And in this, I want to talk about the why. Why does God call us to serve at work? Why should you serve at your place of work? And let me preface what I mean when I say serve at work. This right here is going to be the definition of what it means to serve at work, all right? So you know what I'm talking about. It means this: going above and beyond what is expected of you. Everybody say above and beyond. What is expected of you to bless the organization you are a part of and those you work alongside of. That's what I mean when I say serve at work in this talk. Because I think some of you think like, why would I do that, right? At the place I work. I already work like a dog. Why should I do more? How many know that's one of the biggest struggles at our places of work? I call it the, you know what I'm saying, when it's 5 o'clock and there's still work to be done and you want to go. I call it the not my job mentality, right? It ain't my job, right? You ever seen that on the internet, like the Not My Job Awards? I love this one right here. This one, this image right here is the best Not My Job Award I've ever seen in my life. Right? Not my job, right? Not my prob, right? I love this one right here. Watch this one. I don't know if you see that or not, but somebody must have asked somebody to make some lemonade, and all they did was throw 2 lemons in the water. It's just 2 whole lemons just floating around in the water. You should have cut them. Ain't my job. That's not my job. I mean, sometimes going above and beyond what is written on the job description is a great thing. It's a necessary thing. So I want to give you here today quickly 3 reasons why you should display a servant's heart at your workplace and serve above and beyond your organization and serve others at your workplace, including your boss. The ushers have already locked the doors, so you can't go anywhere now. Amen. We're going to talk about how to serve people. Number one, here's why we should serve at work. God, through your life, will be glorified. And that's an important point. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this point, but hear me, your obedience to God directly blesses God's heart. which in turn glorifies him. I don't know if you have a handle on what glorified means. For those that may not know, glorified literally means feeling, thinking, and acting in ways, even at work, that reflect, display out from your life God's greatness. It's when people look at your life and all they can think about is how good God is. Because all you do is just give credit to him. All that I have is because of him. All that I'm doing is because he's allowed me to do it. You displaying a servant's heart glorifies him. And I know with some of us, workplaces are hard places to celebrate a servant's heart. Because some of you, when you're going to go in on Monday, you're going to have a boss. You're going to have somebody come and just ride you over some minute detail. Doesn't, you know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever seen that movie Office Space? I love it when Lumberg walks up to the guy at the beginning of the movie. Check out this clip, because some of you, this is Monday for you.
Corporate accounts payable. Nina speaking.
Hello, Peter. What's happening?
We have sort of a problem here.
Yeah, you apparently didn't put one of the new cover sheets on your TPS reports.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry about that. I forgot.
Yeah. You see, we're putting the cover sheets on all TPS reports now before they go out.
Did you see the memo about this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have the memo right here. I just forgot. But it's not shipping out till tomorrow, so there's no problem.
Yeah. If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great. And I'll go ahead and make sure you get another copy of that memo. Okay?
Yeah, no, I have the memo. I've got it.
I mean, no, like, that's Monday for some of you, right? Like, sometimes it's really hard to have that mindset, to overcome the mindset of, I just want to punch my boss in the face, right? And have the mindset of a servant. And you know, if you want to overcome that mindset, which God calls us all to do, if you want to view work in the way God wants you to, view your work, view your job as something you do, not for Lumberg, right? Not for any person necessarily, but view your job as something you get to do for the Lord, as something you do unto God himself, that he's the one I'm working for. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23 says, work, and that's important. How many know many people in this country need to get a hold of that first word right there? Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. If we take that mindset and apply it, even if you're at the top of your organization, I work for the Lord. If you may feel like you're at the bottom level of an organization, no, you are important, regardless of what anybody thinks or says, because you don't work necessarily for people. You work for Jesus, and you want your life to be a billboard that displays how good he is. If you view your real boss as Jesus, that perception alone will change how you go to work. That perception alone will change what you do while you're at work if Jesus is your boss. It'll completely transform the life you experience while at work, in turn glorifying God. That's number one. Here's the second reason we need to display a servant's heart at work is you will then arrive at a place of promotion with God-endorsed integrity. Now, this is important. And you got to understand, I'm not saying you won't get promoted without this, because you most certainly can and more than likely will. But hear me. How many know the teachings of Jesus line up diametrically opposed to the culture we see in the workplaces today? And by that, I mean the self-promoting, step on anyone and everyone to get ahead culture that we see in our workplaces today. How many know what I'm talking about? Sometimes that's the place we see the most gossip, the most lying, the most backbiting, as people just claw all over each other to get to the top. Matter of fact, Harvard did a study on corporate executives, people who sit at the top of organizations, people who have climbed the ladder. They are at the top of the ladder. Harvard did a study on corporate executives who, under anonymous testing, admitted to feeling completely or for the most part alone from within their organizations. They said that they felt a huge lack of community around their life at work. They said they felt a sizable distance in camaraderie around their life, again, within the organizations that they live in and live and lead. And what the study found was the result of those feelings that they're experiencing, the result of their loneliness, the result of that lack of community was determined by how they treated those around them on their way up the ladder. They stepped on people to get there. They backbit their way up. They spread lies. They did whatever it took to get to where they wanted to go, even if it cost them the integrity and connection they had with their then co-workers. Hear me, stepping on people to get ahead will only cause you to arrive where you want to go feeling unfulfilled and alone when you get there. People that say leadership is lonely at the top probably stepped on a lot of people to get there. Not that there isn't lonely aspects of it because of the responsibilities. But hear me, when you serve your way to the top, God brings the community with you. And what's crazy is the Harvard study found that many corporate executives were extremely unhappy with salaries that are seven figures. Extremely severe struggles with depression, they said. They struggled with a loneliness that gave that born from them in depression. But here's where it gets insane. This study placed the job of a corporate executive to be, according to a CBS News study that confirmed it, in the top corporate executive, the top 10 most life-threatening jobs in America today because of the Watch Me suicide rate found in those positions. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 2. How many know? When you do things your way, you're going to get you results. When you do things God's way, you're going to, and this is one of the ways that God says we need to be. Matthew 16, 24, he says, whoever wants to be my disciple. Disciple is somebody that's going to follow after Jesus, not just in word, but in deed. I'm going to do what you did. I'm not just going to say what you said. I'm going to do what you did. He said, whoever wants to be my disciple. Somebody say disciple. Come on, how many know? Disciples are the only keys. I mean, that's the only key to a happy, fulfilled life is to become a disciple of Christ. Whoever wants to be my disciple must what? Quit promoting yourself. Quit making life and work all about you. How many know I'm talking about this in a work context? Because this command applies at work. It's not like we clock out of scriptures when we clock into work. But there are people that do that. I've worked with Christians before. And how many know sometimes Christians could be the worst people to work with? It's sad. It's like I see no Jesus in what it is that you're doing and how you treat everybody. Jesus calls us to live this everywhere we go. And he says this, if you want to be my disciple, quit promoting you. Deny you, in fact. By the way, take up your cross every day. What does that mean? That means making a regular conscious decision to die to your selfish nature. Isn't that what the cross symbolizes? Putting to death the flesh. He says, and then follow me. Jesus said, in fact, if you want to be great, don't self-promote. Instead, promote others. Now, I know that doesn't make any sense, but he said it. Matthew chapter 23, he says this. Matter of fact, the greatest among you will be what? not the big wig. The greatest among you will be your servant. The one who's serving everybody. The one who's promoting everybody else's need ahead of their own. How many know we need to have that mindset in this world today? My question is, do you have that mindset in your workplace when you go there? Because Jesus says, for those who exalt themselves will most assuredly be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be, the Bible says, exalted. You take on a servant's heart, you will be exalted. That word exalted in the Greek means this. Watch this. Raised up and propelled forward. I like to call it promotion. A great question to ask yourself is, do I have a servant's heart and mindset at my work? Do I go above and beyond to bless my organization and those I work alongside? That's a great question to ask yourself almost every day. And if I don't, why? Because if you don't, chances are you have allowed you to get in the way from what God wants to do through you in serving others, in going the extra mile for someone, to show them their value, to help promote them to greatness. And hear me, that is the platform God will always use to promote you to greatness. Come on, how many know God's kingdom is so backwards in our natural thinking? If I want to receive, God says I got to give. If I want to get high, God says I got to get low. He will always act. The kingdom of God will always act in opposition to the natural instincts of our flesh. The world, though, has even testified for this very spiritual principle to be true. Just Google entrepreneurial stories of people who have been chosen to lead major organizations in this country and in this world, who had no education, no qualifications whatsoever that would have afforded them the positions that they have. But these were people like Howard Schultz, who's a CEO of Starbucks, and Bill Belichick at the top of the New England Patriots, Theodore Geisel, these are just some of the few people who would regularly ask, if you ask the coworkers they used to work with before they got to lead and be at the top of these organizations, these were people who regularly asked before they went to work, while they were at work, how can I go above and beyond? How can I go above and beyond to make my place of work the very best it can be? How can I go above and beyond to make those I work with the very best that they can be? People that weren't focused on themselves, but they were focused on building and growing others. And these were people who were celebrated on their way up the ladder. These were people who arrived at a place of promotion with integrity and a community of people celebrating them all the way. People who aren't lonely at the top, but rather very, very full. Very, very fulfilled. Understand the power that comes from having a servant's mindset at work. Number three, why we should serve at work is my last point. Serving leads people to Jesus. Serving leads others to Christ. Can I just say this? Evangelism is easy when you have a servant's heart. People that say evangelism is hard, I question your heart. Because when you have a servant's heart, you just want to get the message out and serve it to people in the ways that you would be most effective at. Serving them leads to saving them. And I'm not telling you anything I haven't already lived out. I've had the opportunity when I worked in secular employment to lead 7 people to Jesus in 5 years. And it's been a minute since I've been able to work in secular employment because I've lived in the church world since 1999. But from 1994 to 1999, I led 7 people to Jesus. It'd be a little weird if I was leading my coworkers to Jesus now. Probably shouldn't be the pastor if I'm hiring people that aren't even saved. But it's important to know that I've lived this out, friends. I wouldn't tell you anything I haven't already lived, but you see so often in Scripture salvation, I've experienced this in my own life, being served into someone's life. I've never debated somebody into the kingdom. I've never argued anybody into the kingdom. I've never yelled at anybody into the kingdom. Man, but when I serve somebody, it creates a vulnerability in their life. They open their doors for that decision to be made. Jesus lived this out. He said, we all need to do this. Look at what he said in Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man, do you get bigger than that? You don't. Even the Son of Man. So if we all want to talk about who's big and who's important, is what he's telling disciples. I didn't come to be served, but to serve. Oh, if we would only go to work with those mindsets. Some of you need to get that tattooed right now. Like, go and get it tattooed on your neck. Just right there. Just, I didn't come to be served, but to and then serve. Just monster. I'm kidding. All right. Somebody like, is this dude serious? No. If only we'd go to work with that mindset and give his life as a ransom for many. Your workplace is your greatest mission field. And you are a missionary. So serve the people you work with like one. Listen, you don't got to go to Jamaica to make a difference in somebody's life. You can do it right where you work. And don't get me wrong, I'm not at all discounting the importance of traveling the world to preach the gospel. That is his command for us to do. And we do it with passion and gladness. But included in that world that he's called us to reach are the people in your work. They're part of that world too. About 4 years ago, I was at a pastor's conference. And usually pastor's conferences are filled with big, awesome pastors that come up and just share. One of the speakers at this pastor's conference was a man by the name of David Green. Anybody ever heard of David Green? He's the founder of Hobby Lobby. Anybody, any Hobby Lobby folks in the room? You gotta love that Hobby Lobbiness. David Green grew this organization. He was a department store supervisor in Oklahoma, grew it into an empire that brings in between $5 and $7 billion a year today. He's a born-again believer out of Oklahoma and loves God with all his heart and loves the church, gives tens upon tens of millions of dollars to churches all around the nation. He's helped start dream centers through the trust funds set in Hobby Lobby. And this man stood on the platform of this pastor's conference and he said something, and I wrote it down because he was kind of upset at pastors. And he said this: one of the greatest travesties we make in the church world is only calling those who work in the church ministers. He said, when we are all ministers. And then he gets on the edge of the stage and he says, pastors, I am a minister, just like you. And I thought about that, how powerful that is. Because, you know, we do that. We call a minister the person that works in the church. We call a missionary the person that's going overseas, when this says that you're a minister. You. This says that you're a missionary, that we are all missionaries. Listen, the people around your life matter so much to God. Would you think about that just for a moment? Matter of fact, go ahead and picture those you work with in your mind's eye. The likable and the unlikable. Go on, get them in there. And while picturing them, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, God does not want anyone, including those people you're picturing, to be destroyed or perish, but wants everyone to repent. This is talking about after they die. This is hellfire and damnation versus heaven and paradise. And he doesn't want anyone to slip in to the eternal fires of hell. He desires so much for everyone to know him and for everyone to know eternal life. And he sent you to be that mouthpiece, you to be that minister, you to be that missionary to do something about it. And serving accomplishes that message in its finest form. Let me echo something I said at the start of this series. Serving is taking a break from you and showing somebody else they matter too. And listen, I'm not discounting your dreams and your act, because I feel like some of you may be like, well, what about me? I mean, I know I got to say, I mean, I got, I want to rise, you know? Listen, I know you got dreams. I know you got aspirations where you work. But when I was 12, 13, right around 1990, my family has gone out of their way, my parents, to just sacrifice for my sister and I. We didn't grow up with a lot, but I grew up just watching them give of themselves so that we could have all that we have. Like, we, you know, when you're a teenager, especially in the 80s, 90s, like, school shopping, when you go clothes shopping before school, how many know that was important? And I wanted like the good stuff. I wanted Umbro shorts. I didn't play soccer, but I wanted to look like I did. You know, like, I wanted to go to IOU at the mall. Come on, somebody remember IOU? I wanted that turtleneck with the thing. And I wanted to go to merry-go-round and all those things, you know, and Z Cavaricci's and all that. I wanted all that stuff. And my family would just do all they could so that we could just even have some of it. It was awesome to see them give of their lives. And my parents are on their way back from Alaska. Pray for them. They're on a cruise. God bless you guys. But you deserve it. Amen. But and I just want to tell you, I love you and all that you've given and provided for Dean and I. And I remember around 12, 13, right around 1990, and they saved forever so that we could go to Disney World. And we had never been to Disney World, ever. And it was to a level where we are so excited to see this stinking mouse. I mean, it is crazy. My sister and I are just jazzed, man. And 2 weeks before we're about to leave for Disney World, my dad, who rides a motorcycle, has my whole life, and him and my mom would often get on the back and take a ride. And they took a ride down Hardy Road, which is where we live down in the state park. And back then, the roads were gravel. So he's cutting this turn, and him and my mother on their motorcycle runs head-on into a truck going about 45 miles an hour. And my mother goes flying off the back. This is what they're telling me. My mother goes flying off the back, lands on her head, and my dad slides underneath the truck, whose tires are now on top of the gas tank of the motorcycle, and the gas tank of the motorcycle is on top of his leg. And we've seen the motorcycle gas tank of the bike after this, and the gas tank, because of the pressure, melded onto his leg. It shaped, his leg shaped an indentation on the gas on the gas tank of the motorcycle. And so there they are, he's under this bike, and he's trying to reach her, my mom, and they're bleeding, and it's just all this barely coherent, and they're trying to figure things out, and they're trying to come to, and very dangerous situation that could have went really south, but thankfully it wasn't as bad as it could be, but his leg was shredded, and my mother was just certain experiencing trauma in her brain and her mind, and so the guy who drove the truck ended up getting him back in the truck, and got the bike in there and driving them back, because they said, just take us home, we got to figure out if our kids are okay and all that good stuff. And so me and my sister and I, we're so excited, we got our Disney shirts on, we're just like, you know, just, and we see him coming and we're like, where you guys been, right? And he gets out like bloody and they're barely conscious. And you know, the first thing my sister and I, you know, the first question my sister and I asked wasn't, are you okay? It wasn't what's wrong. It wasn't what happened. You know what we said? Does this mean we're not going to Disney World now? Does this mean we're not going? I gotta go. We're just sitting over here. We're crying about Disney World. My parents get hit. Some kids just need to be beat. I mean, like, are you kidding me? How selfish could I be? I'm just thinking about a dumb mouse. You know, it's like, are you kidding me? We're just like, my parents are like, We got to go to the hospital. I mean, come on, we just wanted to get you guys. We didn't want to leave you here, so we got to go to the hospital. And my sister's like, but we just ordered Subway. Like, Subway delivered at that time. We're like, what are we going to do with the Subway? Like, we're just spoiled as all can be. Listen, the point I'm trying to say is, I think so often we can get so preoccupied with the dream, with where you want to go, and where you, how you want to rise, and all the experiences you want to have, that we forget the importance of the people around us. We forget the value. We forget to care for and love the people around us that are the very people God will use. If you would just serve them, those are the very people God will use to take you to the dream. God will never take you to his purpose not using people. He will always use people to take your purpose. So be careful how you treat people. Don't let the dream be more important. Amen. We'll just go Lincoln County. Than the person. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Journey Church podcast. If you would like prayer or to connect with us in any way, please contact us by emailing us at info@journeychurchmo.com. You can also find more information on service times, events, and more on our website, www.journeychurchmo.com.